Well, as we talk about dreams and nightmares with Lainey Dolphin, we are also going to take your phone calls, do a little interpretation for you, or maybe you just have a question. Jump on board, and we'll be right back. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Lainey Dolphin. Her books, Have a Great Dream, books 1 and 2, are available all over the place. Lainey, what kind of a dream is it if you concentrate on an individual? Let's say you want a job interview and you concentrate on the person who does the hiring. You go to sleep, and then in a day or two, that person ends up calling you saying, hey, come on in for a job interview. What is that?
You before or know you before?
What's that?
Where they didn't speak to you or know you before?
They may have known you a little bit, but not a lot.
Well, because I look at dreams from a problem-solving perspective, that's the area that I'm looking at. But I'm a believer, not only are we multitasking, so there's several different things going on simultaneously. And we're problem-solving using memories from the past, from the present, and sometimes from the future. So the way I'm looking at the dream, I'm looking at it from the problem-solving perspective, but I'm not doing the psychic thing looking at our ESP, except to say to you, we absolutely have ESP. And I often say that if I dream about my father from a psychological point of view, he represents the aspect of my personality that's my male business side, as opposed to my mother, who's my maternal side, stay-at-home mom, where I'm focused on my kids and my grandchildren. But if I'm going on a business trip, I'll dream about my dad. But how do you and I know that my father's also not really visiting me? He probably is. So I think all are true. I think it's happening simultaneously, and it's just that my little niche is the psychological aspect.
It's amazing how that works, isn't it?
Isn't it amazing? Definitely. And I see it happen all the time that, one dreamer from 1997 was dreaming about the Talk family, and it was all about the link that it took her to the camp that she went to, which is where she met her boyfriend, and she had something to say to him. So she was dreaming about the Talk family, who she hadn't seen, by the way, in years, and dreamt that they were looking for shelter at a motel. And 2 weeks later, the ice storm happened in Montreal and upstate New York.
Yep, I remember that.
And the power went off for over a month, and she had to end up going to a motel to look for a room because she couldn't stay at her house anymore, and ran into the Talk family.
How does that happen, right? What about if somebody has died and pops up in your dream? What is causing that?
Well, you want to ask yourself, what is it that comes to my mind about that person? I mean, I grew up in a home, and now I'm going a little deeper for you to talk about long-term change. I grew up in a home where the message was, you better keep your mouth shut. Because if I opened up my mouth to my European father, that would have been considered very disrespectful, and I would have ended up in my room. So I learned to become over-exercised in shutting up and under-exercised in speaking up. And I remember when I was about 40, Andy, my sweet husband, who has such a temper, raised his voice to me, and I said nothing because I was doing my usual Lainey thing from childhood and keeping my mouth shut.
You learned.
But I went to sleep, and I dreamt about my aunt, who had been dead already 15 years. But using a symbol's point of entry, I asked myself, what is the first thing that comes to your mind when you think about her? And the answer is still the same today, all these years later. She had the biggest mouth of anybody I ever met. She was so assertive, and if she didn't like you, she had no problem telling you. So she appeared in my dream because my unconscious wanted me to lean in to that behavior that helps me speak up and use my voice. And because I understood the message of the metaphor, I woke up the next morning and I said, Andy, could you please not yell at me? It makes me feel like I'm 7 years old and I'm with my dad again.
What causes precognitive dreams, Lainey?
But that's what I'm saying. That's some ESP where you're jumping into the future. But even though there's some precognition there, like there was with the woman and the Talk family, she was still getting the surface message about having to talk to her boyfriend to express herself, to express her feelings. You see?
My daughter had a 9/11 dream several days before it happened. We did not know what it was, of course. How could
yeah.
we? But she described walking through a big city, looking up at ash falling down so much, she said it looked like a snowstorm, but it was like ash from something. I thought maybe a volcano or something, but that's what it was. It was a 9/11 dream.
Yeah, so sad. And there's plenty of that as well.
A lot of people had that.
Yeah. I focus myself on the metaphor and the message because my whole thing is all about problem solving. That's what I'm all about.
Well, let's go to the phones. We've got questions for you. We've got nightmares to interpret. Ariel's with us in Monterey Bay, California. Hello, Ariel.
Hi. Yes, my question for Lane.
Sure.
The question is how to use the conscious mind to communicate more directly with the subconscious or the unconscious mind, and then ultimately to communicate with a higher mind. For example, I learned a technique that as soon as I wake up, before I move, before I do anything else,
right,
I'll look at what I have to do for the day, and or maybe longer term goals, problem solving, and I'm saying I need help. Give me anything that I can use to do these, and I will get ideas that I would never have thought of. And they come really fast, like really quick, idea after idea after idea. So have you come across a method to go through the conscious mind to the?
I write notes to myself sometimes about whatever the situation is, and I might even walk around with that note in my pocket. You can incubate a dream. You can ask yourself to figure out a solution to an issue that's bothering you, and you should read it a couple of times, even put it under your pillow, think about it. And another great thing to do is, however that situation is making you feel, when you close your eyes to go to sleep, feel that feeling, because that's going to bring the dream on for sure. And you can even go so far as to ask yourself for the dream in metaphors that are easy for you to understand.
Can you go to sleep, Lainey, without dreaming, telling yourself, I don't want to dream tonight?
Oh, you're so funny, because I just got this question like yesterday. And yes, you can. One of my daughters, Chelsea, she's a big dream recall person like myself. And I remember when she was a teenager one day, she said, it's too much. I don't want to dream anymore. And that's what she did. She told herself, okay, I've had enough.
Huh.
And so I'm going to turn it off now. And that's what she did.
Let's go to Morris in Ohio. Welcome to the show. Morris, go ahead.
Yes. My dream was about a few days ago. I had a dream about being attacked by a man in a black clothing, but I escaped both times. So I don't understand it. I know I had a late sister that died in September and had a stack of brand new jeans with the tags on them. I folded them, folded and folded them, and she died a few weeks later. We were very strange.
Did she die tragically, Morris?
No, she died in her sleep, unexpectedly.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah,
you had a thing about a guy. I'm 11. 21, you had the thing about a guy was 11-11. Here in Ohio, 11-12 came. I received a suit from a department store. It was a 12. Odd.
Interesting. So what's this attack dream all about, Lainey?
Well, yeah, I would ask you, and didn't you say it happened in the last little while?
Which while? The while, the other night ago was the guy that attacked me in the black suit. The suit, my sister was in September.
Oh,
so not that far away.
Right. It's a lot easier. It's not about your sister. I'm sorry. But I just don't come from there. And so I'd be much more interested in asking you, how did you feel in the dream that you're being
attacked? The other night ago with the guys and the one guy, it was just one. And I escaped from him, like he was trying to smother me or something of it, and I escaped. That was the other night ago.
Lainey, could it be precognitive that maybe someone's going to attack him somewhere?
No, the dream is about yesterday. It's about something that happened to you or something that you thought about the day before you had the dream. At the first level, a dream is always, always triggered by a very specific current issue. And so there's 100,000 things that you and I could think of right now that make us feel attacked from the back. It might happen because, I mean, one of my daughters said something so rude to me the other day, and that could trigger a dream like that, where I'm feeling like I'm getting attacked from the back because it really surprised me. So there's that element. It's not just an attack, but it comes from the back. So it's not something that you expected or saw coming. And those are the kinds of questions that you might want to ask yourself when you wake with a dream like that. You don't want to be looking to see if you're like a fortune teller or you're like, you know, big on precognition. It's so much better and easier to attach the dream to the thing that's bugging you this week. Because attacked from the back, the first thing I would think of is to turn around and find out, you know, who's attacking me, what's attacking me. You know, to face the thing head on means to talk about it during the day.
So he's got some issue within himself, doesn't he?
Exactly. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Boris.
You get me, George.
Stay safe. Oh, of course.
You get me.
It's taken 6 interviews, but I got you.
No, I think you had me on the first one.
I think so, too. Joe, Long Island, New York. Joseph, go ahead.
I have a question that I just want to highlight one brief dream.
Sure.
My question would be more about highlights of dreams that are in a brief dream, Lonnie. Like you said, you had a dream that lasted only maybe a minute, but there were highlights where the dream itself was giving you highlights, maybe zooming in on something. Or, this question of whether you're participating or not participating.
I love that. Yes, I happen to love when I hear a person tell a dream and they are the observer. Which may happen sometimes. You know, I know a woman who is dreaming that she's standing in the street and looks up in the sky and she sees like a plane blow up. And it was the blow-up that was happening with her kids. It was something that she was observing, A, and B, that's something that she had absolutely no control over.
Joe, did you have a quick dream? Go ahead.
Yeah, I just as you were talking, I had a dream where there was a plus-size woman along the lines of Oprah, you know, running by herself, and then the dream said she's running a marathon. And I say to myself in a dream, I didn't know, and I would run with her. And now I think about it, two things. One, how the extra size would bog someone down through no fault of their own. Number two, my motivation in running with her would have been to give her support. And I was thinking, gee, you know, all these marathons I participated in, it was... That's the general theme, that people are really just supporting each other. Unless you're a superstar, there's no reason other than to be like that. Just support other runners, you know.
He's an empath.
Right.
He's an empath, Lainey.
Very important comment about yourself.
He is. It sounds like he's an empath, doesn't it?
Exactly.
Interesting. Thanks, Joe. It's very kind of you to do that, by the way. Let's next. How much time do we have? We've got time for another quick call. Let's go to Jean in Appleton, Wisconsin, first-time caller. Jean, thanks for calling.
Hi. I enjoy your show, George.
Thank you.
My question is, what happens if you dream about somebody that dies and they do die and they're perfectly healthy?
Okay. So before they die, you dream about them dying.
And I'll give you an example. My brother died in 2006. Along with his co-worker. They were highway workers. And they were working on the highway, patching up the roads, and a semi came and hit them, and they died instantly.
Oh my God.
My brother was only like 52, and his coworker was 54. And before this happened, about 4 months before this, I dreamt that he died in an accident. It was so vivid. I woke up and I had tears. I'd seen him in the casket, and he was laying in there. And it was so vivid, George. I woke up and tears were just rolling down my eyes. I was crying so hard. Well, I brushed it off, you know, because, you know, he didn't die. He was alive. Well, he came over like he did because he was single, and he would come over and visit me. And I thought, well, should I say anything? And I thought, no, nobody wants to know if they're going to die, and then you do dream that they die. So I never did tell him that I had this dream. I've never had a dream like this before, but it was so real. And all this time, it bothered me. And I'm wondering, you know, it's why this happened.
Truly precognitive, lady, wasn't it?
Right, exactly. I can't really answer that. I'm not a psychic or any of that stuff. So that's not my area of expertise.
What is it that she's tapping into?
And the way, you know, and if you want a simultaneous explanation of what can also be going on some other level, what you would do is you would ask yourself in normal circumstances, you would ask yourself what personality traits come to mind or memories that you think about your brother. You know, was he a selfish person, a giving person? Was he a comedian, a serious person? Was he shy or assertive, selfish, giving, initiator, a receiver? So that's what you do, is you ask yourself the personality traits of whoever it is that is in your dream, and you dream that that person dies. So because I already revealed to you that one of the things about me is that I've had to exercise using my voice. And so I might dream, so once I'm getting more and more comfortable about speaking up for myself, I might dream about someone who I consider very shy and very afraid to speak up. And maybe I'm going to dream that they die. And the reason that I'm dreaming that they die is because I'm letting go of that part of myself and getting more comfortable with speaking up.
Lainey's
part of me dies.
That's pretty good stuff. Lainey's websites are linked up at coasttocoastam.com. She's got a couple books, including Have a Great Dream, Book 1, Have a Great Dream, Book 2. And she's also on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. You're all over the place, Lainey.
I am. I am.
Well, good
but
for
I'm
you.
Not going to say it's a nightmare.
All right. Well, stay with us. We're going to come back in just a moment and take final phone calls with you. And, of course, we're on YouTube, so you can subscribe to our free YouTube channel by just going to YouTube and type in Coast to Coast AM Official. You got to do it that way. Or click the YouTube icon in the far right-hand corner of coasttocoastam.com. Next hour, Michael Bryan joins us as we talk about his books, The Road to Strange Things That Happen to People When They're on the Road, Scary Things. So make sure you're part of the program. We'll be back in a moment more with Lainey Dolphin and take final calls as well and dream interpretations. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, back with Lainey Dolphin. Of course, we'll take your calls. Lainey, can people email you through your websites?
Yes, they can. It's just simple, info@thedreamanalyst.com or info@haveagreatdream.com, and I'll get all those emails. And I'm a Coast Insider, too, by the way.
Oh, are you? Great. Good for you.
I am. So I could listen to it, not in the middle of the night, necessarily.
Now, do you have a Dreaminar coming up, and what is that?
I do have a Dreaminar coming up. It's a dream group, and I like to keep it to 9 people per group, so each person has an opportunity to share the dream. And I do 3 Wednesdays in a row every time I get 9 people. And so definitely you can sign up for that. There's one coming up soon.
All through your website again?
TheDreamAnalyst.com or HaveAGreatDream.com.
Super. Let's go to Jeannie, west of the Rockies in Citrus Heights, California. Hi, Jeannie. Welcome to the show.
Hi, George. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, I had a kind of a dream where I was traveling. I came a kind of on where I was traveling on a bus or something, but not knowing where I was really going, and I figured I was, and then I sort of saw an airport, and I just wondered. It's kind of a short dream, but I, that's all I can remember, but
is
I just
recent?
Wondered what that might entail.
Is it a recent dream, Jeannie?
It was a while ago, but
right.
Never,
because if you had it yesterday, I would be asking you, what do you think is going on in your life that you don't really feel you know where you're going? And I'm using your language, because when a dreamer is speaking, I am writing like a maniac. Because I don't want to get my associations and my database or my language. I want to pick up your language, and that is what you're saying. I'm not knowing where I'm traveling somewhere, and I don't know where I'm going. And don't all of us feel like that sometimes?
We sure do.
Yeah. And we sure do.
But no, she dreamt this a long time ago, so what does that mean, Lainey?
Well, it's a long time ago, so it's hard to connect it, you know, because if you had the dream 2 years ago, who knows what was going on in your life on that particular week.
But it's all tied to something happening, isn't it?
It's all tied to something very, very recent, like in the first few days. Now, if you want to look deeper into a dream, I mean, I love Freud, and I love Jung and Adler, and I'm a happy girl to dig deep for long-lasting solutions, but when we're talking about how do you get deep, how do you even get deep? You get deep by being surface first, because I'm a first things first kind of girl. So I'm going to want to know what's going on this week that triggered this dream, because it's from there that I'm able to start looking deeper, like, you know, looking at the dreamer's reaction. Like even in this case, I might be able, if we wanted to go deeper, I might be asking the dreamer, you know, is that feeling where you don't really know where you're going, is that a familiar feeling for you in your waking life? Generally, is that something you generally feel that you're not really sure? Because maybe this dreamer is not a happy decision maker.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she goes back and forth on a subject, spinning around like the woman on the carousel. So maybe she's not that comfortable making decisions. And then you could go deep, because then you can start asking yourself, where does that come from? And what memories do I have in my childhood about being like unable to take a stand, to make a decision? And I'm not really comfortable. And then, so that's how long-term change happens.
Let's go east. Charles is with us in Detroit, Michigan. Hello, Charles. Go ahead.
Hello, George. Hello, Lainey. George,
hi,
before
there.
I get started, I just wanted to ask you, did you used to do voiceovers when you worked at Store Place, like doing a station identification?
I did a few back in the late 70s, yeah.
I remember your voice. I was a kid at the time. Okay, but Lainey, my question is, I involuntarily retired from my job, and I'm trying to go back. At least once a week, I have this dream that I return to work. What is that telling me?
That's your language. That's like a policeman who didn't give me a ticket because we traded and I did a dream analysis for him. And he was talking about how he pulls out his gun and it doesn't fire. And no, it was not a sexual dream. It was about that he had something to say to his wife, that he wasn't saying. And so he used the metaphor of a gun because that's his language. That's his vocabulary, comes from his day-to-day work. And so you're retired, but your language is still whatever work you were doing for however many years before you were retired.
Does it sound like he's going to go back?
Would you want to go back?
Yes, 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 indeed. I'm trying to go back now.
Oh, that's just plain wonderful. And so perhaps you're preparing yourself for that. And that's what the stage, that's what's happening in your dream. Maybe you're going back to work because you really do want to go back to work.
And that's funny because I am in law enforcement.
Oh, how about that? He's in law enforcement.
Oh, so, you know, make sure if you're dreaming about your gun that there's bullets in it.
Okay, yes, I really do want to go back. Like I said, I retired involuntarily, and I'm trying to go back.
Well, good for you. Bravo.
Keep doing it, Charles. Thank you so much. And speaking of bullets and a gun, I feel so sorry for Alec Baldwin and the people that were injured or killed in that horrible situation, huh?
Wow.
Oh, my God. What are they doing putting a loaded bullet in a movie theater prop?
Even at all. For what reason? What reason? It doesn't even make any sense.
I mean, even a false bullet could hurt you at close range. But, I mean, still, why do that? It makes no sense.
It doesn't even make any sense. And the weirdest thing is that apparently it's kind of commonplace on movie sets.
Well, that's going to change.
Using a real gun with real bullets in it.
Yeah, that's going to change. Watch.
I hope so.
Let's go to Jesus in Guate, California. Welcome to the show. Hi, Jesus.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call, George. And hello, Lenny.
Hi there.
My question is, when I heard nightmares talked about, I perked up right away because I had two nightmares. Now, this was a while ago, and I'm a passive-aggressive, but never been in a fight, so I'm not violent or anything. But the first nightmare was, these are the two dreams that I remember so much because they're vivid, was seeing a demon, and I was scared to death so much that I had to sleep with the lights on all night. The next dream was more recent, but a while ago, and it was that I had a lot of bodies stashed in the house or out back or somewhere in the shed, you know, whatever, dead bodies, and that I was the murderer, and then I was going to get caught. Now, I realized the implication of them, but they were so vivid. And when you said nightmares earlier on the prelude, it was like, wow, those are two nightmares that still stand with me today. My recent dreams, I can kind of figure out what's going on. But the other thing is there's two good Halloween videos, Yeah, 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 Heads Will Roll, and 21 Pilots, Heathens, if you ever get a chance.
Well, just to give you an idea about nightmares in general, anyway, we are self-regulating organisms. And so whatever it is that we are underreacting to in our waking life, the dream is going to overreact. It's the exact identical principle to when you have to pee. You can hold it in, hold it in, hold it in, but at a certain point, you have to go to the washroom. And that is what happens with us. If you have feelings that are making you feel a little bit, and notice I'm saying a little bit anxious. I'm not saying that you're scared like the bejesus out of you. I'm saying you're a little bit anxious about something.
But one makes
a... You're not talking about it. You're holding it in, holding it in, holding it in. Well, and then you go to sleep and you dream that there's demons there and you're absolutely scared to death. Because you are a little bit afraid about something during the day, and you're not talking about it. You're holding it in. So the dream creates the balance, A, and B, it succeeded in grabbing your attention. And that's what your unconscious wants. It wants to get your attention so that you'll take care of stuff during the day and not be hiding it.
What's going on, Lainey? What's going on with him, though? He's a nonviolent guy dreaming of himself as a as a murderer, serial killer type.
Yeah, but if you're bloody angry at somebody, you know, and you know that expression, I am going to kill you, or I could say to you, I spent so much money on that bag that if Andy finds out, he's going to kill me. If you speak like that, and that's the language that you use on the interior, then it's going to come in the form of a picture. So don't be surprised. I mean, this dreaming about that you're the murderer, well, that's you being aggravated with somebody, but you're not telling them. You're not saying anything about it. So the dream is going to take care of it for you, and at least you get rid of the emotion. It's like letting some air out of the balloon, because the minute you let a little bit of feelings out during the day, which we humans, for some reason, we don't like to do that. We lie, we avoid, we hide, and we sweep. And I call that welcome to the human race. But your unconscious never lies to you. So if you're aggravated with somebody and you're not telling them how aggravated you are, don't be surprised if you go to sleep and you're dreaming that you're murdering people.
Let's go to Amy in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin. Welcome to the show. Hello, Amy.
Hello. I am so glad that I got through tonight. Hi, George. Hi, Eleni.
Hi there.
Hi.
I would like to preface this with the fact that I have done dream study and research, and I often will interpret my own and other people's dreams. But I had a dream 2 years ago before the start of the pandemic that has completely baffled me. So in my dream, I go in to my local nail salon where I will frequently get my nails and a pedicure done. And I tell them that I want a pedicure, and I, you know, do everything that I need to do. And they take me to this other room in the back, and they put me in this, in the pedicure chair. And then they strap me in with straps where I can't get out.
Like an electric chair or something.
Well, no, not really. Just,
get out.
You know, they just kind of strap me in so I can't move. And then they said, we have to give you this shot. And some woman comes in with a white lab coat, and she gives me some kind of a shot, and I pass out in the dream. And then when I wake up, I'm completely alone. I'm no longer strapped in the chair, but I'm completely alone. But it's almost like I'm in like a nuclear bunker. And I look out this little circular window of this bunker, and there's like a nuclear winter going on outside. And that was it. That was the end of the dream.
Well, the most important thing for me in the dream is the fact that you're strapped in and you can't get out. Because the dream kind of, those dreams, that's what I call an Adlerian dream. Because where Freud was looking into the past, Alfred Adler was looking towards the future. And he would have said, the dream gives rise to an emotion to help you move forward towards the goal. And by you being strapped in and you can't move, that's going to help you move during the day. So, in other words, if you were procrastinating about something that particular week, then being strapped in a chair, that's going to help you get at it. If you're a procrastinator, a dream about strapping you in a chair, that's going to help motivate you to move. I mean, I had another woman not that long ago who was dreaming that she was strapped in and tied up, and she was watching somebody be murdered. And the next morning, she woke up and quit her job.
Wow. Lainey, we're out of time. I want to thank you for being on the program. Keep in touch with us, okay? And have a happy Halloween.
I will, and you too, George. Thank you so much. It's always fun to be with you.
All right, you take care of yourself. Lainey's websites are all linked up at coasttocoastam.com, and her two books, Have a Great Dream, Book 1, Book 2. Up next, what strange things happen to people when they're on the road?